الله الله
إيدر
القابض الباسط الخافض الرافع المعز المذل السميع البصير الحكيم.
You're listening to Eders.com.
الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا صدق الله العظيم سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي درود شریف پڑھنا Respected brothers, respected elders, mothers and sisters listening at home, Imam Zuhri Rahmatullah Alayhi has mentioned that Sayyidina Osman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala an ruled for 12 years as a Khalifa. Sayyidina Osman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala an ruled for 12 years as the Khalifa for the Muslimin, and from the 12 years of his Khilafat, the best period is considered to be the first 6 years, that is the first 6 years of his Khilafat. In fact, in the first 6 years of his Khilafat, Hazrat Osman was so popular that he was widely accepted by everyone, and more popular even than Hazrat Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala. That is in the first 6 years. And the reason for that is quite simple. Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab's madhab was completely different to the madhab of Hazrat Uthman. Hazrat Umar ibn al-Khattab was in the category of what was explained in the last few sessions. He was of the thought that it was not right for the Muslims to save up wealth, to accumulate wealth, and a man who had a very simple life, a simple living, in fact nothing in his house or nothing of the sort, anything that can be described to be of his possession. And that is what he expected from the people also. He did not want dunya to come close to the people. As for Hazrat Uthman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala, he was very soft-hearted. Hazrat Umar was very strict. Hazrat Uthman was very soft-hearted. And also extremely wealthy. And a lot of the people would take advantage of the fact that Sayyidina Uthman bin Affan was very wealthy. Not only was he wealthy, you get some people who have wealth, but unfortunately don't have this capacity to give. But Hazrat Uthman had the wealth, and he was also very generous, extremely generous. So people would come to him and they would shed tears. We need this, we need that. Hazrat Uthman blindly would give. And so he was widely accepted by the people, and he was also loved. This was in the first 6 years of the Khilafat of Sayyidina Uthman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala an. As for the second half of the Khilafat, things had changed dramatically, very fast. The time of fitna, the time of turmoil that started in his Khilafat. Now, we need to also understand the reasons. We need to go back towards the political, the social, demographical climate that was there during the Khilafat of Sayyidina Osman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala an to understand. We can't actually race towards the very last few days of his life. In fact, I would not do justice. It's very, very important that we cover everything stage by stage, so that alhamdulillah we have a clear picture of what occurred and who were the perpetrators and who were the people involved in all of the conspiracies that eventually led towards the martyrdom of Sayyidina Uthman bin Affan radiyallahu ta'ala an. And so we have to cover every avenue of the seerah of Sayyidina Uthman bin Affan radiyallahu ta'ala an. So the first 6 years were the best period of his life, the best period. And then a complete U-turn. Things were very, very different in the second half. Allahu Akbar. Now just to put in front of you one hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that we understand. From the time of Adam alayhi salam, or from the creation of this dunya until the day of Qiyamah, the best time span or the best period of time, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, خَيْرُ الْقُرُونِ قَرْنِي ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ. The best period, the best time is that time in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had appointed me as a Nabi and I was amongst my people. So that period of time is the best period in human history. And that is the period of the Sahaba-i Kiram ajma'in. So the best age to live in the condition of Iman, was to be alive during the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These were the best people. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the best human being, the best creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the greatest scripture that was given to him, which is the Quran, and also the city chosen for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the city of Makkah, the best city, Madinatul Munawwara, also the best city. And the best team was selected for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which are known as Ashabi Kiram, the companions of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ. And even that period of time, those that have accompanied the companions of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Those that have accompanied the companions of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we have Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his ashab, and then we have the tabi'een, those that accompanied the companions of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the best period of time goes from the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam until the first 6 years of the khilafat of Sayyidina Uthman bin Affan radiyallahu ta'ala. So from the time of Rasulullah until the first 6 years. Why? Because all of the individuals during the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can be described as muttaqeen. Every single one of them. That they were all God-fearing people who were very, very sincere. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, وَلَوْ أَنَّ أَهْلَ الْقُرَىٰ آمَنُوا وَاتَّقَوْا. If the people of the land embrace iman, accept the faith, and if they adhere to taqwa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would open up the treasures of the heavens for them. Allah would give them a lot of barakat, a lot of blessings. And this was seen during the khilafat, during the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Though in the beginning, 13 years were quite difficult. But after that, from the conquest of Makkah all the way until the khilafat of Hazrat Uthman bin Affan radiyallahu ta'ala and to the first 6 years of his khilafat, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given a lot of barakat to the Muslim community. So we need to understand that this was the khayrul kurun period. Now let us look at the second half of the khilafat of Sayyidina Uthman bin Affan radiyallahu ta'ala. First of all, what we need to also understand, my respected brothers, that many of the companions during the Khilafat of Hazrat Uthman radiyallahu ta'ala an had passed away. So you had Sahaba-i Kiram ajma'in, but few. Many were alive during the Khilafat of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq. Many were alive during the Khilafat of Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala an. Some were alive during the Khilafat of Hazrat Uthman, but many of them had passed away, and those that were alive were even scattered everywhere. Subhanallah, the Islamic empire was vast. Many, many people were around. Sahaba-i kiram ajma'in, their main occupation was to give da'wah, and their purpose was to engage in jihad. And that is why a lot of them were in jihad fi sabilillah. So the condition of the people at that time was, let alone to be blessed with the company of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a lot of them did not even stay in the company of the sahaba, of the companions of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Just to give you that picture, the things were very, very different. Sahaba-i kiram ajma'in is the elite category of people and the tabi'een. And now you have the different group of people that are coming and emerging, which was very, very difficult. And things were difficult for that Osman. Why? There was this mass influx of immigration. A lot of people were now getting into the Muslim lands. Why? At that time, the Islamic empire was the richest empire. Money was pouring into the Islamic empire from every corner of the world. And the Muslim treasury was the richest. And so the non-Muslims preferred also to live with the Muslims. A lot of them were economical migrants. People were working there. And some of them had also embraced Islam. Wallahu alam, what was the condition of Iman? Some of them had just outwardly accepted Iman. So things were very, very different. For an example, you had the Turks coming into Islam. You had the Persians coming into Islam. You had the Byzantines coming into Islam. You had also people from the African continent. You had the Berbers. You had the Jewish people and the Christians that were there. And a complete mixed race of people that were now coming into the borders of Islam. And when they came into the borders of Islam, they would come with their own custom. They would come with their own culture. They would come with their own beliefs. They would come with their own language. They would come with their own dress code. They would come with their own food, their own lifestyle, their own character, their own literature, their own architecture. Everything was completely different. So all of them were now coming into, and the borders were open. No restriction. The borders were open for everybody to come. And Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala allowed that, and that was also an opportunity for a lot of the Muslims to do the da'wah work with them. So they actually accepted Islam, but things were very, very difficult. It was not as easy. Subhanallah. And the main problem was language barrier. The people who came were not even prepared to learn the Arabic language. And so the Arabs, their language was the Arabic language. And when you had different people coming, communication levels were not there. And therefore it was very, very difficult for the companions or the tabi'een or the tabi tabi'een to immediately groom them and nurture them Islamically as it was desired by the Muslims. It was very, very difficult. There were just too many. And remember, Sahaba-i kiram ajma'een had passed away. Now in the time of Hazrat Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala, and he was very strict. But Hazrat Uthman could not do what Hazrat Umar could do, because the borders were open. During his Khilafat, Islam was spreading very, very fast. Hazrat Umar would not allow a Muslim to settle in a non-Arab country. And he would make sure that anybody who came in, there was a bit of restriction. That was how Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an was. But Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an could not do this. A lot of dunya, there was a lot of wealth, people were coming, and it was also money that was attracting people towards the Islamic Khilafat. Allahu Akbar. That is why Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a time will come when dunya will open up to my ummah. A time will come that dunya will open up to my ummah. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I don't fear my ummah worshipping idols. That I don't fear. But I fear that dunya will open up for them. And they will be distracted from understanding the purpose of life and the purpose of their creation, dunya will affect them. These are the words of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and in fact it had an immediate impact during the Khilafat of Sayyidina Uthman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala. In Dubai, I was just reading an article, the Atlantis Hotel opening ceremony, just for the opening inauguration of that hotel, the Arabs, the Muslims had spent £13 million. Can you imagine that? £13 million just for that one day. Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. How Muslims can be blinded by wealth. They forget the purpose of life. They forget also the responsibilities that Allah has put to them. They forget that. And the firework display is considered to be the biggest in the world in human history. The biggest in the world in human history. 7 times more firework display than even the first day of the Olympics in Beijing. 7 times more than that. These were our Arab brothers. But what does Allah do? Boom! A firework. And they wanted to change Dubai immediately. And they said that we have brothels and we have mosques. You choose what you want. What did they say? We have brothels and we have mosques. You choose what you want. Everything is there. Go buy. Dunya is there. You want dunya? Go for dunya. At 6 o'clock you had zani women walking on the streets. 6 o'clock. Allahu Akbar. And what happened today? Everything is gone. Gone. People no longer want to go to Dubai. That is the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you become blind, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, actually, Allah is the one who holds the string. By come, pull, pull, pull. How much will you pull? How much will you pull? That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. If our condition was to change, as in the condition of our livelihood, for the better or for the worse, we should always be grateful. And the worst sickness is when you find that people who haven't seen wealth, and all of a sudden wealth comes to them, it becomes very hard for them to control that wealth. And this is imtihan azmaish, which started immediately after the first 6 years of the Khilafat of Sayyidina Uthman bin Affan. And every Jumu'ah, Hazrat Uthman would stand on the pulpit, Madinatul Munawwara, and he would warn the people, and he would say, I see that the dunya has opened up for you, and if you don't take control of dunya, it will divide us. Hazrat Uthman, every Jumu'ah would say, it will divide us. Ittaqullah, ittaqullah, fear Allah, fear Allah, fear Allah. But you had different people, different communities, different people that were coming and working. And Allahu Akbar, at the end of the day, my respected brothers, it is all about money. In fact, when money came, changes were even seen in Madinatul Munawwara. Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an had seen some of the youth that were playing a sport for them, pigeon fighting, capturing pigeons and flying them in different directions. Like in Pakistan and India, you have the time for the kites. Kya kehte hai usko khali sahab, kites? Nahi, patang, lekin naam hai na us sports ka. Huh? Say it again. Patang bazi. Yeah. Even in India they have that. And they want to cut each other, the threads. And it's a sport. They want to cut each other, something like that. But it's supposed to be a sport. As they say that golf is a rich man's sport. So now, in the Arabs, the pigeons were there. And Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an was shocked to see that things were changing. By the way, that's not a fatwa that golf is haram. In case somebody says that, Mauli Sahab, you don't play golf, so you don't let us play golf. I'm not saying that. I've just heard that from people. There's no harm if you want to do exercise and if you want to walk around with some metal stick in your hand and kick around. And what do you call that?
Club.
A club. That's it. So you can do so. Alhamdulillah, there's nothing wrong with sports, provided everything is halal in the Sharia. And also, during the Khilafat of Sayyidina Uthman bin Affan, people now wanted to drink nabiz. Now, nabiz is a drink that is not haram. It is made out of dates. And it is actually the juice of dates. But what happens that if you leave the dates for a long period of time, then at times it can have an effect on you. It can make you drowsy and you can be disoriented. And this is what the people were doing. So nabiz is not haram, but if it was left for a long period of time, it could have that power, it could intoxicate you and things like that. So a lot of the people were now drinking nabiz for pleasure. Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an was very, very strict. Though Allah had blessed him with wealth, though he would accept people accumulating wealth, which was jais, which was lawful, there was nothing wrong. But at the same time, a man who wanted everything under control, and he would instruct the governors that if you see anybody drinking nabiz, I want you to flog them. And if you see anybody playing with pigeons, I want you also to punish them. And so now the youth and a lot of the people that were in the different part of the regions, they did not accept this rule and the law that came from Madinatul Munawwara. And when the governor said this, there were a group of people who said, no, we will not accept this. They did not want any form of restriction. They wanted dunya because money was there. Aliyazu billah. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. That is why in one hadith, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah's Nabi had three stones. He put one stone in front, and then the second stone immediately after the first stone, and then the third stone, he flung it at a distance. And he said to the companions that the first stone is insan. The first stone is insan. And the second stone behind, immediately behind, is death. So he put the first stone, and then immediately after the first stone, he put the second stone. He said the first stone is insan and the second stone is death. That death is just behind. Death is your shadow. And the third stone, which he flung at a distance, he said that is the desire and the ambition and the dreams of insan. That he is in a dream world. He wants to do that, he wants to do this. This is what he wants to do, but yet death is just behind. So cut your dreams and your ambitions and be real that you have to face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at times wealth can destroy a person. You make it or you break it. You make it or you break it. Don't get me wrong, wealth is a great blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Foolish are the people who say, oh, I don't want money. Oh, we shouldn't do that. That is not Islam. If Allah gives you wealth, channel it in the right direction. Why? You will earn more reward. You will earn more reward. So it is about moderation. But again, it is also a test. Like it was a test for the people, for the non-Arabs that were there. Allahu Akbar. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in one hadith, that in my ummah there are four kinds of people. In my ummah there are four kinds of people. And he explained, he said the first category of people are those that Allah has blessed them with wealth and with knowledge. Allah has blessed them with wealth and with knowledge. Now because Allah has given them knowledge, they have taqwa and they fear Allah. And because of the knowledge, they spend the money in the right direction. They give money in charities. They help people. And so Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, The first category of people are the best in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the best group of people. That they have the wealth, they give it in the right path, and they have the knowledge, they also fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the second group, the second category of people are those who don't have the wealth, but have the knowledge. Who don't have the wealth, but have the knowledge. Now, because they have the knowledge, they have taqwa, and because they have the knowledge, they say that man, the second category man, aspires to the first category of man, and he says, if I had wealth, I would have done the same thing which my brother is doing, but I haven't got the wealth. If I had the wealth, I would have channeled that wealth in the right direction also. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, because of intention, both are rewarded equally. Subhanallah. Because of his intention, both are rewarded equally. So the first two categories are the two categories which are very dear, and people who are very close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then comes the third category of people. And the third category of people are those that they have the wealth but don't have the knowledge. They have the wealth but don't have the knowledge. If they had the knowledge, they would not spend 13 million pounds on a 1 billion pound hotel. Right? And one of the rooms, one of the rooms is 35,000 pounds per night. Ahmad, have you been there? No. 35,000 pounds a night. It's called the signature suite. Aap log samajhte hain, Maulvi Sahab, you might have been there. Huh? I haven't even been close to Atlantis Hotel. Ji, bhai, hum to saade log hai, bhai. 35,000 pounds one night. Allahu Akbar. So if you had the knowledge, he wouldn't have done this. So the third category of people, they have the money, but don't have the knowledge. Or even if they had the knowledge, they don't want to follow the knowledge. And it is like what Allah says, they are like donkeys. Banu Israel, the scholars of Banu Israel were described that they are like donkeys, and on the backs of the donkeys you have laden books. So they are like donkeys. So you don't have knowledge. And because he has no knowledge, this man spends money left, right and center. Blindly, extravagance, lavishly throwing money here and there, and earning the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it is amanat. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the third category of people, are the worst category in the sight of Allah. And then comes the fourth category of people. The fourth group is that person who has no wealth, and no knowledge. Who has no wealth and no knowledge. But he looks at the third man on top and says, oh, look at this guy. Look at his Lamborghini. Look at the money that he has. Look at the enjoyment. Look at his palace. Look at this. Look at that. And he's dreaming. If I had the money, I would have competed with him. I would have done that. I would have done that. I would have done that. And now he is competing in the wrong things. Because he has no knowledge, because he doesn't know how to even contain the money that was to be given to him, and he wants to spend it in his intention in the wrong way, to channel it in the wrong direction. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, because of his intention, the third and the fourth group of people are the worst to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have to be very, very careful, my respected brothers. Alhamdulillah, Allah give us wealth, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make that wealth a means of putting us straight, and also that we get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that becomes a means for us as a form of investment in the hereafter, inshallah ta'ala. And so during the Khilafat of Sayyidina Uthman bin Affan, dunya had opened up, especially the desert Arabs. These were people who lived in the desert, strong and stone-hearted people, and they would speak their mind, and they had no consideration of the people. And then also nationalistic pride. You had the Turks, you had the Berbers, you had the Byzantines, you had the Persians, people from Iran and that part of the zone. You had people from Hind, and you had people from Afrika and Habasha. And now what would happen, you had this group of people, even superficially, if they had accepted Iman and Islam, they were not accepting the Arabs. So now you had the Arabs on one side, and the non-Arabs, the other side. And that is why it is very, very dangerous when we say that person is a Surti, that person is a Baruchi, that person is a Pakistani, that person is a Maimon, and that person is a Bangladeshi, and that person is that. Yes, as a friend, as identity, that is accepted, right? Identity is not a problem. But for any man to claim and for a man to feel, or because I'm a Hindustani, I'm better than the rest, or I'm a Pakistani, I'm better than the rest, this is all wrong. Why? Because we are all Muslims. And this was the same fight that started and had erupted during the Khilafat of Sayyidina Uthman bin Affan, and it was very, very difficult for the companions to take control. You had a wave of people that were coming in from different sides, different sides, different customs, different languages. And imagine, even until today, we as Muslims, 1400 years have elapsed from the Hijrah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even now, today, when a lot of the Asian communities, when a nikah or a marriage takes place, a lot of the customs are completely based, are Hindu based, completely Hindu based. It's got nothing to do with Islam. Now imagine, in the time of Sayyidina Uthman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala, it was extremely difficult for him. That is why, my respected brothers, alhamdulillah, we are all Muslims. And if need be, if we need to intermarry, we should accept this. If we need to intermarry, there is no harm. By alhamdulillah, she is a Muslima, he is a Muslima, and if there is compatibility, mashallah, both fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are living in the time of fitna, accept it. We are living in the time of fitna, accept it. So this is again the teachings of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Another major factor, I'm just opening up for you so that we have a complete clear picture of why a sudden change after 6 years. What happened? Why was this fitna? Where was this fitna coming from? So that we understand that the companions are not to be blamed. Not even the tabi'een. You had different people. They did not even know that for them to embrace Islam, was it done sincerely? That is only in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And another thing the scholars have mentioned is with regards to the Murtaddeen. Murtaddeen are those who apostated from Islam and then returned back to Islam. During the Khilafat of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, he was very strict. If a man became a Murtad, if a man apostated from Islam and then he returned back to Islam, that Iman is accepted. No problem. If he testifies to the Kalima, he's a Muslim. But Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq would not allow that man to participate in any of the jihadi expeditions. That man was not entitled to take part in jihad fi sabilillah. So if all of the people went in jihad, the ex-apostates, Murtaddeen, would have to remain behind. And he was very strict. A stern warning was given to Hazrat Khalid bin Walid, let me not catch you enrolling anyone who had apostated from the deen of Islam. And I don't want nobody who was once a murtad, then he embraced Islam, for him to participate in jihad. So this was again the ijtihad, the fatwa that was given by Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. When it came to the Khilafat of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he slightly relaxed this rule. A slight leeway, a slight concession was given. And what he said, I will not follow the strictness of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, but he said, I leave it to the discretion of the governors. If the governor or the Khalifa feels individually that this man is okay, that his iman is strong and that he is accepted, only then with the izn, with the permission of the Muslim Khalifa, was he allowed to participate in jihad. So during the Khilafat of Hazrat Umar, it was with a condition. And the second condition was that that person, an ex-apostate, could never be a leader or an amir for the Muslim contingent of jihad. So for an example, if he was to be appointed as a leader, he can be only appointed for a group of mujahideen that were few in numbers, less than 100. If it was more than 100, that was disallowed, even at the time of Hazrat Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala. That is why Tulayha was a murtad, then he embraced Islam, but in his entire life he was shy to meet Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq. So he came to do Umrah and came to the city of Makkah Mukarrama, and coming, traveling all the way to Makkah, he did not travel to Madinah Munawwara to meet Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq. Why? Because Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq was very, very strict. He did not like people who had embraced Islam, then became murtad and then reverted back. He didn't like this category. Although he left it to Allah, but he said, no, they will not participate in jihad. Hazrat Umar left it to the discretion of the governor. Now, Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala, things were quite different. Hazrat Uthman decided that even the ex-murtadeen, the apostates, were free to participate in jihad, and the complete freedom was given to them during the Khilafat of Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala. Hazrat Uthman was of the opinion that enough time has been given to them. From the time of Hazrat Abu Bakr to the time of Hazrat Umar, we could not restrict them so much. So Hazrat Uthman decided to lift this ban from them and said that they are free and they can be amirs even, and even people who can have a large contingent of the Muslim army under their wing, that is all accepted. And scholars have said that perhaps this decision from Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an proved to be an unfavorable decision that came from him. Why? Because majority of the people who betrayed Hazrat Uthman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala an were from this group of the Murtaddeen, who were the ex-apostates who had once renounced Islam and then they accepted Islam, and these were again the same batch of people who played a big role in going against Hazrat Uthman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala. We ended that, my respected brothers, inshallah ta'ala. If we can sort of grasp the whole picture of the different communities that were there, it will become easier for us to actually understand the shahadat of Sayyidina Uthman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما. اللهم تقبل منا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. سمعنا وأطعنا، غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير، برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.